madhav kunja bihari gopidanna balaba kire vardha Gopijana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Dodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Jasodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jayura Dhamma Dabo Kunjabiya Gopijana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Yasodanandana Vrajadana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Dhammadava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
Shanti Shanti Shri Prabhupada Ki Nithai Gaurasamanam Ne Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, ninth chapter, the passing away of Bhishma Dev, text number 23. Bhaktya Vesya Mano Yasmin Vachayan Namakirtayan Chajan Kalevaram Jogi Muchyate Kama Karmabhi Bhaktya Vesya Mano Yasmin Vachayan namakirtayan Tyajan kalevaram yogi Muchyate kama karmabhi Bhaktya vesya mano yasmin Vachayan namakirtayan Yajan Kalevaram Yogi Muchyate Kama Karmabhi Bhaktya.
Bhaktya.
With devout attention.
With devout attention.
Avishya.
Avishya.
Meditating.
Meditating.
Manaha.
Mind.
Yasmin.
In
whose?
Vacha.
By words.
Yat.
Krishna. You got something else here?
Whose?
No, here it says, in the book it says, Krishna. Nama.
Holy name.
Kirtayan.
By
chanting.
Tyajan.
Quitting.
Kalivaram.
This material body.
Yogi.
The devotee.
Muchete.
Gets release.
Kama karma
bhi. From fruitive activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The personality of Godhead who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting of the holy name releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of his quitting the material body. Purport. Yoga means concentration of the mind, detached from all other subject matter. And actually such concentration is samadhi, or 100% engagement, in the service of the Lord. And one who concentrates his attention in that manner is called a yogi. Such a yogi devotee of the Lord engages himself 24 hours daily in the service of the Lord, so that his whole attention is engrossed with the thoughts of the Lord in ninefold devotional service, namely hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, praying, becoming a voluntary servant, carrying out orders, establishing a friendly relationship, or offering all that one may possess in the service of the Lord. By such practice of yoga, or linking up in the service of the Lord, one is recognized by the Lord Himself, as it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita concerning the highest perfectional stage of samadhi. The Lord calls such a rare devotee the best among all the yogis. Such a perfect yogi is enabled by the divine grace of the Lord to concentrate his mind upon the Lord with a perfect sense of consciousness, and thus, by chanting his holy name, before quitting the body, the yogi is at once transferred by the internal energy of the Lord to one of the eternal planets where there is no question of material life and its concomitant factors. In material existence, a living being has to endure the material conditions of threefold miseries, life after life, according to his fruit of work. Such material life is produced by material desires only. Devotional service to the Lord does not kill the natural desires of the living being, but they are applied in the right cause of devotional service. This qualifies the desire to be transferred to the spiritual sky. General Bhishmadev is referring to a particular type of yoga called Bhakti Yoga, and he was fortunate enough to have the Lord directly in his presence before he quitted his material body. He therefore desired that the Lord stay before his view in the following verses. Bhaktyavesya mano yasmin vachayan namakirtayan tyajan kalevaram yogi muchyate kama karma bihi. The personality of Godhead, who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting of the holy name, releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of his quitting the material body. Om Magyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milijam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripadam aham vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna. With the blessings of all the Vaishnavs and Vaishnavis, here, Bhishma Dev is speaking. Bhishma Dev is one of the Maharjans. The Mahabharata is stated, Tarko pratishta shutayo vibhinna, nayase rishir matam nabhinnam, dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam, mahajanayena gataksa panta. That the secrets, the conclusive truths, are hidden in the hearts of the Mahajans. And people who are tarkis or argumentative speculators, they cannot actually enter into those secrets. And who are those Mahajans? Svayambhur Naradakshambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Pralada Janaka Bhishma Balir Vayasakir Vayam. So Bhishma is one of the Mahajans, and he is speaking here to the Pandavas and Krishna, which is a very unique situation. Is the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. Bhishma Dev is still lying on his bed of arrows, and Krishna is coming with the Pandavas to pay their respects to Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma is completely pierced by arrows which were shot by Arjuna. And Yudhisthira is feeling terribly sorry and very distraught because so many people had to die because of him. And he's the emperor, he's the new emperor of the world. And Bhishma Dev is ecstatic seeing Yudhisthira and the Pandavas in the association of Krishna. And he is focusing his mind and attention on Krishna. But what he first does is he glorifies the Pandavas. And he glorifies the Pandavas and Kunti, how much trouble, how much difficulty, how much suffering they endured. And he's remembering all these pastimes. So he's exalting them. And now here in this verse today, he's honing in, he's focusing in on Krishna. And so in this verse today, he's speaking about how through bhakti or devout attention, one can achieve the darshan of the Lord. Attention comes from the word tendere, and it means to stretch or to apply one's mind and also one's energies to something. When you stretch, you have to apply yourself. So, attention. Where attention goes, energy flows. Where do we put our attention? The difference or the opposite of love is not hate, but it is indifference. So, where do we place our attention? Are we placing it on Krishna and on Krishna's service and Krishna's lotus feet, or are we still placing it in other topics? So Bhishma Dev, the man who had fought on countless battlefields, who had conquered and who was invincible, he is now in his last stage of his life. And he's focusing completely on devotional service and on the lotus feet of Krishna. So he's speaking about attentive devotion and meditation of Asya. That meditation should be focused on the Lord. Ante Narayana Smriti. That the end of life, we can actually focus on Krishna. But if we have still unresolved issues, if we still haven't done our homework, if we still have tensions with the things of this world, then we will not be able to focus on Krishna exclusively. Because then we'll be a tarki, we'll still be caught in the argumentative plane, and we'll have to come back to be right, or to get even, or to get ahead, or whatever it is that we want to get. I remember in 84 when I decided to become a devotee, my father took me to a Christian dialogue, some symposium of some Christian scholars. And I heard them arguing on the panel, and it was all very theoretical and abstract and very dry. And I was not at all attracted. But my father knew one of the scholars, so he had him come to our house and try to convince me to change my decision. So the scholar asked me, "What is your plan? What do you want to do?" And I did not want to speak about devotional service and being a devotee because I didn't know how he would react. And also I didn't know that much about it. So I just told him, "I want to become a brahmana." And he was like, "Okay, what can I say, you know? He's made up his mind." And he told my father, and my father just had to acquiesce. He just had to give in because it seemed like an honorable decision, so to speak. So we have daily a choice to make whether we want to follow Mahajanayana Gataksapanta in the footsteps of the Mahajans, or we want to follow the Tarkis, the argumenters. It is said that Ramachandra Puri had a steady desire to criticize others. His desire was steady. It was not like something that came and went, but he was really focused in his resolve to criticize others. So, and it is because of avidya, karma, samgyamya. It is because of ignorance. We should not ascribe to malice what can be ascribed to ignorance. Ignorance is the enemy, and ignorance is keeping us bound here in the material world. This kama karmabhi, or fruit of activities, which are the sum and substance of the material world, are also described just one chapter earlier in the prayers of Queen Kunti in text 35, where she's speaking also this kama karmabhi. It's a passage that comes up in different parts of the Vedic literatures. So how to avoid this kama karmabhi, the seemingly relentless desires that are born from the tendency to control and enjoy. In the fourth canto, 22nd chapter, when the Kumaras meet Maharaj Prithu, in text number 39, there's this beautiful verse, yat pada pankacha palasa vilasa bhaktya karma sayam gratitamut gratayanti santa tadvan nariktam atayo yatayo piruddha shruto ganastam ravindam shruto ganastam aranam bhajava sudevam. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for fruit of activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. So Sanakumar is speaking to Prithu Maharaj, and in the purport of this verse, text 39 of the 22nd chapter of the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada makes a very beautiful analogy. He's bringing in the example of the waves of the river, and they're relentless, like the desires of the senses to connect to the sense object. Have you ever wondered about how relentless these desires are of the senses to connect to the sense object? It's like the waves of the river. And he is explaining that the only way how to stop the relentless waves of the river is if the ocean floods. If the ocean floods, then it pushes back the waves of the river. And it will completely flood them over. In a similar way, if we engage ourselves in the devotional service of Krishna through the process of bhakti yoga, then our desires will not only become spiritualized and transformed, but they will be redirected towards the original source where all these desires come from, which is Krishna. Another meaning of the word Sankarsana is the one who brings together. Balaram, Baladev, is also known as Sankarsana. The one who joins, who brings together two families. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his purport to that passage, also says that Sankarsana also means the one who brings the one who wants to enjoy and the sense object together on a material platform. So, kama karma bhi, the relentless fruit of activities that can only be transformed through the process of devotional service. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks extensively about that process of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. And how by practicing such kind of yoga or linking up with the service of the Lord, one is recognized by the Lord as the best of yogis. Yoginam api sarvisham madgantenam taratmana shradavan bachate omam same yukta tamo mataha. That such a yogi is the greatest of all yogis who exclusively focuses his or her attention on the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, when Srila Prabhupada left New York for the last time and he walked out of the elevator, he said, "I want to have the benediction that I can die on the battlefield of preaching like Bhishma did." And when Haridas Thakur left this world in Puri, meditating on the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and Mahaprabhu granted him this wish, this benediction, and everybody was reminiscing the passing away of Bhishma Dev. One time, after, this was late 80s, early 90s, after Govardhan Parikrama, me and my dear friend Harinamananda Prabhu, we went to see Buddhimanta. Buddhimanta was the first person to distribute 100 big books. When he did that in Los Angeles, he came back to the temple. He showered and put on a dhoti and bare-chested wanted to walk into Prabhupada's room, but the person outside didn't want to allow him to get in there. So he just pushed him aside and went into Prabhupada's room. And Srila Prabhupada looked up from his desk. Let me retract. When we went to see him, Buddhimanta was in Vrindavan to leave his body. He had brain cancer and he was in a lot of pain and his memory faded in and out. So, but when he spoke about Srila Prabhupada, he became as clear as the midday sun. And he was telling us this story. And then Srila Prabhupada looked up and said, "Yes, what do you want?" And he told him that, "I just distributed 100 big books." And he was so exuberant. about that. And Srila Prabhupada said, thank you very much. And then he looked around and he wanted to give him something. But there was nothing that he could give him. So he took off his own shirt and he handed it to Buddhimanta. And Buddhimanta is there and he's dying. And he's reminiscing this. And then, like Bhishmadev, he's telling us, I was only doing a few books and Prabhupada gave me his own shirt. You're distributing thousands and thousands of books. What would Prabhupada give you? So he made it about us, not about him. And it was very encouraging. It was very motivating. It was very inspiring. Later on, we went back to the West and we heard that Buddhimanta Prabhu had passed away on Shivaratri. The doctors gave him 2 months to live, but he lived another 18 months. And Bibi Govinda Maharaj stayed with him in room number 3, which is where Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu now stays. It's called the launch pad. A lot of devotees have taken off from that place. And on that Shivaratri, each and every one of us had the biggest day we ever had on book distribution. I remember I was allowed to distribute 255 Mahabig and Big books. It was not a marathon day, it was just a regular day, going door to door. 2 Bhagavatam sets, 1 CC set. People just looked at me and they were just throwing money at me. It was unbelievable. And later on, when we heard that it was that day, Shivaratri, where Buddhimanta left this world, we realized it's because Buddhimanta gave his life for book distribution. Krishna said, okay, on this day, everybody's going to get books today. Nobody can say no. Nobody can refuse. It's the same Buddhimanta who broke into the office in L.A., Karandar's office, and stole all the boxes of Krishna books that had just arrived. They broke the door and took all the boxes out and distributed them. I'm not saying you have to imitate that. He's also the person who was famous for eating a jar of peanut butter, a tub of sour cream, yes, and a cauliflower. He had a lot of fire. So, but the point I'm making is that to exclusively meditate on Krishna, we need a certain level of intensity. And that level of intensity is achieved by exclusive focus, by dedicating ourselves on one single object. Just like if you take a magnifying glass and you bundle the rays of the sun, then there is some effect, there is some heat that's being generated. In a similar way, if we take all the activities and all the things that we do and that we practice, but we bundle them through the clear lens of preaching, and we focus this on a one person, it will have effect, it will have impact. I was walking with Buddhijan Prabhu in Govardhan, from Govardhan Ashram back to his place, which is just behind. And he told me something very interesting that I wanted to share with you. Because I've not come here to teach, I've come here to meet old friends and some not so old friends. And to get some inspiration from all of you. And it's already happening. So I'm really excited, I'm really happy. Happy to see the magnificent deities and the blissful devotees. Also happy to see the line of minivans who are dropping off children at the school. It's, you know, makes the heart happy to see this. Devotees taking care of cows and doing preaching and outreach. Because there is focus. There is attention. There is a very clear sense of purpose that Srila Prabhupada has given us. So, Buddhijan Prabhu, one of our chief educators. He looked at me and said, Navina, there's something I wanted to tell you for 2 years. Now, if somebody tells you that, you pay attention, right? There's something I wanted to tell you for 2 years. So I wondered, what would that be? Then he said, now is the most important time of your life. You're laying the foundation for whatever is to come, and do not get discouraged. And then he gave me the list of the topics we discussed the last time I had talked with him. And he said, you should always ask yourself three questions. Number one, who am I? And he answered it, I'm a servant of Krishna. Number two, who occupies your heart? Who is in your heart right now? Who is it that you want to please, to serve and satisfy? Is it Prabhupada? Is it your guru? Is it your Ishtadev? Who is there in that sacred space? And number three, what is your contribution to this ISKCON movement? And I added a fourth one on my own. What am I ready and willing to do and sacrifice in order to achieve my contribution to this movement? So, Bhudimanta had left Krishna consciousness for some time, but in his last stretch he came back. And he left this world in Vrindavan in very favorable, in ideal circumstances, because he had achieved the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. And so here Bhishma Dev is also showing us how to leave this world. And this is a very important lesson that each and every one of us will eventually face. So a dear friend of mine just passed away about a week ago, Nitai Chaitanya Goswami. Most of you will not know him because he is a very humble, unassuming Vaishnav. He's from the Ukraine. And he joined ISKCON. He heard the Maha Mantra first in the 70s on BBC International Radio. And then, back then in the Soviet Union. And then in the early 80s, he joined the ISKCON movement, gave up his job and all the situations that he was in, and was engaged in translating and distributing Prabhupada's books, risking his life. He became one of the leaders of the Russian Yatra. He traveled far and wide through Russia on trains and did the hard yards for many decades. He was 20 years older than all of us. He would have being 70, he just passed away recently. So, and he's my godbrother, and whenever I would meet him, he never made it about himself. He always made it about the other person. He always deflected. He always put the attention on the other person. That was his unique quality. So you can look online. Niranjan Swami held a memorial service for him, and there's a lot of wonderful memories about Nitai Chaitanya Goswami, who just recently passed away in Russia. He also built a temple in Kursk, and he was traveling to the central region. And at one point when he had a driver, Sukharevo was his base, which was like a rural project outside of Moscow. And one time his driver was late for almost an hour to take him to the tour, to go preaching, to visit the devotees. So after about an hour, he could not contain himself and he stormed into the room of his driver, the devotee. And he yelled, Gati Satama! That was the name of the devotee. And then he toned it down. He caught himself and he said, Krishna likes you a lot. So he got he was very intense. He was very upset. He was angry because his service was being obstructed. And he yelled out the name of the devotee. But then he caught himself. And he said, Krishna likes you a lot. So he was very poetic. He knew a lot of the big Russian writers and poets, and people loved him for his flowery and elaborate descriptions and classes. His kirtan was very unique. One time, before Kirtan Mela, before all the great lineup of stalwarts, he was there on the stage. And as Devamrita Swami recalls, his singing and his kartal playing did not correspond. And it was not melodious. But it was so sincere and it was so authentic that it touched everyone's heart. So he was a very dedicated servant of Srila Prabhupada, and he has left. So we're just remembering him. Now, as we are, most of us are in our second half, and some are coming to their bell lap, to their later phases of life, we should ask ourselves, what is my Antinarayana Smriti? What is my legacy project? What is my homework? The things that I have not yet resolved before I can exclusively focus and surrender to Krishna. So to take inventory and to close up shop, to close up business, and to move ahead in one's devotional service, this is the topic of this chapter. So Bhishma Dev is showing to us how to do this and how to exclusively focus on Krishna in the last portion, the last time of his life. We can see how he is encouraging the Pandavas, extremely encouraging, extremely empowering. This is the legacy project. Are we encouraging and enthusing the future generations, or are we obstructing their devotional service or their growth in Krishna consciousness? Just like, have you ever gone to a store or a restaurant or a company and one of the employees started talking negatively about the company or about the employees or about their boss? Has this ever happened to you? It's not very encouraging, right? You don't get a lot of faith in the establishment, so to speak. So if a person comes to our institution, we should make sure that that doesn't happen, that people actually get encouraged. They feel inspired to take up the process of Krishna consciousness, and that we solve our unresolved issues through discussion and through our own homework that we are taking care of. Just a few days ago, I was in New York, and as we were setting up the book table on Washington Square Park on Sunday, there was one middle-aged person, my age, Michael, and he came up to me and he said, "So how do you do this meditation? I just don't get it together. I always get distracted." It's quite unique because he came and he approached me. So I showed him the books and he was very appreciative to see how scientific it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita how to actually meditate and how to focus in this process. So he was happy to take four of Srila Prabhupada's books. Another day I went to Columbus Circle at the entrance of Central Park, and the sun was out, even though it already got quite nippy in New York at this time of the day, at this time of the year. So there was some wheelchairs at the entrance, and some caregivers had brought the old folks that they looked after to get a little sunshine on their walk. And I went up to one elderly lady, and she was well-dressed. She had nicely manicured hands and fingernails with big jewelry and nice hair. And I showed her the Bhagavad Gita, and she was very intrigued. She asked her caregiver to give her the purse, and she handed me $5. And at the end, she said something beautiful. She said, "Thank you for walking over here and taking the trouble to talk to me. Because when you get older, not so many people want to talk to you." And sometimes they even may want to avoid you. But she was actually appreciative. She looked a bit like Nancy Reagan, you know. Like, very aristocratic, but, you know, like mid-80s. And she really appreciated that I came over from the Harinam and I gave her one of Prabhupada's books. And I was just thinking, a few decades ago, this must have been a very beautiful lady. And now, nobody even sees that she's there, and people are just avoiding her. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Santa Cruz, surrounded by forest fires. There was so much ash and so much commotion of people having to relocate. Over 1,000 houses and structures burned down. So I was there on the farmer's market distributing books. And people were quite open. I can tell you, this time is the best time to share Krishna consciousness than ever. People are quite open because of whatever is going on. So, as I was walking back from the market to the car, there was a youngish kind of man, almost my age, and with his daughter. And I started talking to him. And I told him my name and where I was from. And he said, I was in Switzerland. I worked there for 1 year. I said, really? Which town? And he mentioned the name of the town. And it was my hometown, where I grew up. And then I asked him what he was doing. He said he was a translator for a bank. I said, which bank? I knew the bank. It was the bank of my parents. They didn't own it, but they banked there. Small difference. So I knew everything about him. So as we reached the car, I gave him a book. He gave me a donation and some berries, which was a nice gesture. And just as I was about to leave, he said something very beautiful. He said, aren't you a... I said, yeah, I'm a Hare Krishna. And he said, you know, I want to share something with you. When I lived in Switzerland, I went to a music festival. You know these three-day festivals where people camp out and they go to a concert? And I was there with my friends. And one morning I come back to the camp and the tent is gone. My clothes are gone, my money's gone, my documents are gone, my friends are gone. Everything's gone. Great friends, huh? Mm-hmm. So, and I was left stranded. And I went to the Hare Krishna camp. And they gave me food, they gave me a place to stay, they gave me a sleeping bag. They looked after me for the whole weekend. So because the devotees went out of their way, it made a lifelong impression on this person. Because the devotees, they went the extra mile, as it said. Now Prabhupada went the extra 10,000 miles to reach us. And he saw the potential in us. Even though there may have been so many other things. But Prabhupada chose to see the potential rather than the deficiency. Would you rather be seen as an asset or as a liability?
Huh? Asset.
Correct. Huh? Correct. So, that makes us a little more conscientious how we carry ourselves and how we interact with each other and how we interact with the public. Whether we give them the idea that there is actually an opportunity for them here in Krishna consciousness. There's a saying, you either create opportunities or you create opportunists. So we want to create opportunities. And it's beautiful to see that this is a great opportunity here. And you have all worked tirelessly to make this vibrant community attractive. And so many people are coming here. And so many devotees from all different parts of the world are moving here. So it is truly inspiring to see that. And it should inspire us to do our own individual homeworks to see what is my legacy? What will I leave behind? How will I be remembered? As an obstructionist? Or as a person who was an agent of change, who wanted to bring things forward and actually make more opportunity and give people a chance to take up Krishna consciousness. Bhishma Dev's mood was a mood of encouragement. It was a mood of inclusiveness. It was a mood of empowerment. And that is the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement. That is what Srila Prabhupada brought us. That's the legacy. And we are very grateful to be here and to witness so many wonderful examples of this. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
We have time for a few questions or comments.
When you read this, some comments. You can mention the name.
Yes, I need to get my glasses out. Hare Krishna devotees, is not the devotee released from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of initiation, before even quitting the material body? This is from Ragatmika. He's not released from the bondage of fruitive activities. It says that the guru takes the karma, but there's different types of karma, and it's a technical question. Could discuss this in different ways. The guru takes the karma of the disciple at the time of initiation. Yet, we also know that we have we have been in the material world for very, very long. So also sometimes devotees again commit mistakes and errors and accrue karma while even after being initiated. So it's not just, hey, I'm initiated, I'm saved, you know. I'm part of the chosen. Now I don't have to endeavor anymore. I can do whatever I want. I've joined the club. So we cannot make a blank statement. I don't want to discredit the importance of initiation. At the same time, what we do and how we leave this world definitely also has impact. From Patsy Witten, please stay. What year did this remarkable devotee leave his body, Buddhimanta Prabhu? Again, it was either late 80s or early 90s that he left. And what did he say was the opposite of love? The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Indifference means you don't pay attention. So paying attention actually means giving your love to Krishna. If you give your full attention to Krishna, that means giving your love to Krishna. Do we have time for one or two comments or questions? Thank you for those who...
How do you reconcile, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, envy is opposite to love?
There's many statements.
No, I mean, how do you reconcile this? I just want to hear from you what you think about it.
Envy is...
opposite to love. This is something you cannot take to the spiritual...
Yeah, if I'm envious of somebody, what happens? I will ignore them. I will be indifferent to them. Because I don't want to deal with them. Because it means that I cannot tolerate the presence of somebody. So I will be indifferent to them. Have you ever noticed if somebody's got some issue with you, they just try to avoid you, they pretend you're not there because they don't even like to look at you, what to speak of, talk to you, or, you know, engage with you. So that is a manifestation of envy.
So you're saying that could be also indifferent?
Yes.
That's what indifferent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. When you envy somebody, one thing is you argue with them. One thing is you attack them. But if you just ignore them, that is the worst. That is the worst form of envy. You pretend they don't even exist. Other points?
Also, I have one more question. In the translation...
We got one over.
Thank you for your nice class. I was appreciating your comments about being liberal and inclusive with newcomers. Remember, I was working at the Welcome Center for quite a long time here, and whenever somebody would come, and like a newcomer on Sunday, and whenever they would say something like, oh, I'm from this path, or I like that, or I'm attracted to this, whatever they said, I always said, like, oh, that's exactly how Krishna consciousness is. Like, I always said, like, you know, oh, that's what we do here. That's exactly what we do here. Just to, like, find something, you know, to relate something that they're already interested in to Krishna consciousness. So I was appreciating your statement about that. And also because I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I did encounter this, like, sectarianism and this kind of, like, just, I don't know what the word for it is, but like...
The word is called insecurity.
Something like they couldn't necessarily like catch what was like interesting to the person in Krishna consciousness. They couldn't like catch that somehow, like...
Yeah.
It was very like, you know, like cultural and very like
yeah
sectarian. So I wanted to like personally do the opposite of that.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, when we're insecure, then we have to either ignore or attack others because we feel threatened and we feel diminished by whatever it is that they're doing or that they're talking about. So we try to either pretend it doesn't exist or we find fault with it. Huh? But if we're actually Krishna conscious, then like Bhishmadev here, Arjuna is the one who shot the arrows in his body. But he was happy that to see them in full regalia taking up the service of ruling the world. So he was non-envious. He was completely at peace with who he was, what his service was, and what others were doing. And he was able to appreciate them. Even if it looked like the two purposes were opposite, they were contrary. But for him, it was not a contradiction. He could reconcile it. Achintya kalu ye tam starkena na yojaye. All seeming contradictions become reconciled in the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we're truly Krishna conscious, we will not see left wing and right wing. We will not see these, you know, so-called opposites. Because Krishna is the one who can reconcile all these differences. It said even there's different devotees in Krishna Lila who have different tastes and opinions. They don't all get along. That doesn't justify if we don't get along, but that just shows that there is room for individuality. There is room for, there is diversity in unity. Yet we should see what is the ultimate goal and objective, and that is to please Krishna. And what pleases Krishna? If we can bring all living entities closer to him. That is Srimati Radharani's service, and that's why she is the best servant, because she brings all living entities to Krishna. And that is most pleasing to Krishna. So thank you for your kind attention and for allowing me to be part of your community for a short time. I feel honored and fortunate. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. And you can still get Srila Prabhupada's shirt by going out and distributing his books and by raising his children and grandchildren and by spreading his glories through prasad distribution and deity worship and